Two Guys, One Rail podcast.
When you look in the mirror, you see this old school cowboy. Doesn't take orders, goes his own way. A lone wolf. The only question here is, why did Sonny Hayes come back to F1?
I never should have pulled you into this.
Down the inside, contact!
That's the other driver. You say he was old, he not that old.
Just got hope for some lucky breaks.
Hope is not a strategy.
Anything else, Professor?
Drive fast.
Ever seen a miracle?
Not yet.
How do you think I'd feel if you die on the track?
Three laps. Three laps is a lifetime.
G'day, guys. Welcome back to the Two Guys, One Rail podcast. I'm your host, Kevin.
And I'm Anthony.
And we are here to do our review on F1, the movie.
This one is a banger, guys. This stars Brad Pitt, Damson Idris, Javier Bardem, and Kerry Condon.
Awesome. So, with the F1, what is the F1 movie? So, I'll tell you. So, in the 1990s, Sonny Hayes was Formula One's most promising driver until an accident on the track nearly ended his career. 30 years later, the owner of a struggling F1 team convinces Sonny to return to racing and become the best in the world. Driving alongside the team's hotshot rookie, Sonny soon learns that the road to redemption is not something you can travel alone.
This is a good one, Kevin. Yeah, and I also thought that there's a lot of reluctance there as well when he is approached. But I'm definitely interested in your thoughts.
Well, again, amazing film. I highly agree with you on that. It's a really good, just a really good cinematography, to be honest. It was such a good ride. No pun intended.
Yeah. Yeah, very well shot. So the point of view of a camera in the cockpit of the cars, and obviously when we meet Sonny, he is a bit of a drifter, and you can tell that he's a bit of a rogue as well, and he kind of just flies by the seat of his own pants. He does his own thing, and you can tell from the, he's got little superstitions. He's got little things that he does to prep him into, you know, a drive or into any race that he's involved in.
Oh, absolutely, man. And as you said before, the shots, amazing with in-car, out-car. And yeah, and also with the rookie, he has his own little ways too. He's so well. The casting of this film is just so, meshes really well. It's a really, they come together so well. Mm-hmm. And you see it on screen, which it's just amazing.
Yeah. Like, especially, like, as I said, the personalities, they clash because, obviously, with Brad Pitt's character, Sonny, he's like the grizzled veteran who basically was turned away from F1 after an accident. And so when he is convinced to return, he has to go up against this personality of his younger teammate, who is convinced that the team doesn't need him, he doesn't need him, and, yeah, like, they clash. And then, obviously, as well, you see how their different driving styles and their experience all comes into play.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And also what's really well done is how they did with Formula One itself.
Oh yeah!
How they integrated all the other drivers within the film as well, which I thought was spot on.
It was beautiful.
And also the humor. The humor in this is highly funny. I was laughing along with a lot of people, and I saw this with my partner, and she was laughing at the same time, and it was so good. It was so good.
Yeah, like the way that it played out, obviously, obviously you could see that they had done a very good job at like establishing their backgrounds, the characters. So like obviously when we first meet Sonny and he's approached and convinced to return to F1, he's been everywhere. Like he's done his own thing, and it's basically like I get the feeling that he was haunted, and because we obviously notice that he carries around a deck of cards, and he always keeps one in his pocket, but he never looks at it. So like he kind of makes his own luck. It kind of like spurs him on. And so, as I said before, he has his own little superstitions, his own little quirks that help him get through each race, anything he's driving. And he, as you learn from him, he doesn't drive for money. He doesn't drive for anything other than, you know, it's the car and him. And then, so he's very solitary. And so you seeing him adapt throughout the film and becoming a team player and becoming someone who becomes a bit of a mentor to the younger driver, to JP.
Yeah. Well, I feel like his driving style, like you said, he knows it's a team sport, but he's set in his way because he knows how to win. He's the sort of guy that other sports call when they are having trouble there because he knows he's a good driver.
Yeah.
But he is reckless and he's not scared to push the limit of what he can do, and which can also be his downfall.
That's right. Sorry.
Go on.
Yeah, I just wanted to get what your overview of the film was, Kev. Like, what were your genuine thoughts?
Oh, my full thoughts of this film after I've seen it, I was blown away. This is one of my top movies of the year so far. From all the movies we've done, everything we've seen, this just shot straight to the top because it was just a roller coaster. You're up, you're down, you're laughing, you're shocked, you're taken back. It's all in one package. And that to me is a film that is cinema. And the director hit it on the nail so good. And it was just mind blowing is what I could say. I want to watch it again.
Yeah. So you definitely recommend people to see it again at the theaters after seeing it.
Yes. I feel if you have a chance to go to the movies, go see this straight away before it gets out of cinema. Because once it's out of cinema, I feel like the feeling will still be good, but it won't be as impactful as what it was when you first see it on a big screen.
That's a ringing endorsement, folks, because like for anyone to recommend that this film is best seen in cinemas, especially if you can get to the big screens, like you really need to, because like Kev just said, there's a film where you're laughing and there's moments where it's very tense and there's moments where, I don't know if you saw this in the cinema, but there were people in the row that I was in sitting forward in their seat like this during certain moments because it's very fast pace action. It's very, like I said, it's very intense. And obviously because JP feels he doesn't need Sonny around and they're very competitive. And because again, Sonny has his ways and JP has his, and he wants to be the best in the world. And he doesn't want to be outshined by Sonny. But then Sonny, again, I always felt like, and it never gets really addressed in the film, but like he's got like this this guide of his father and a photo of him as a child. And it never really gets addressed at all through the story of his dad or anything like that. But like, it, obviously after he had his accident in the 90s, when he was racing, he was badly injured, and it's foreshadowed. You see his scarring. You see that, like, you know, he it's revealed that he had major damage done to him at the accident, and it's kind of haunted him. So he's always kind of ran away from things, and so he doesn't really stay where he is. He's always drifting. So if he's not in one spot, he's somewhere else. Sold all his possessions, sold his house, sold everything, got a van and just drives. So he's the master of his own life and he does his own thing and he is where he is. Like, what do you think?
Oh, yeah. I highly agree with you on that. And I also feel like this is, it's a sort of a messaging of this film, I feel like, is do what you, you know, get out there and do your best at what you can do. And, you know, don't, what I'm trying to say is don't take your life for granted. Basically, get out there and live life is what I'm trying to say.
Like, try things.
Yes. Get out there, do what you can. You only live once, sort of thing.
Yeah. Like, there's like three ways to do things. There's their way, your own way, and a way that you do it together, kind of like. Like, kind of like the wrong way, the right way. You figure out the right way as you're doing it, kind of. Yeah. And, like, yeah, like, watching it. Like I said, there's people sitting forward in the seat. I found myself doing it at certain moments. And it's, like, the clash of personalities and, like, people's different objectives. Like, obviously, you know, they wanted, or Javier Bardem's character, you know, he's taking a big risk bringing Sonny back in after he's got the notoriety. Like, I felt that whenever anyone met Sonny, they're kind of, like, put off by him at first because he's a rogue. He's kind of like someone that, like, no one wants to deal with because he's got a reputation. But he's got the confidence, you know, and he's got the swagger. And so he's determined to do things his way. And then, like, obviously, over the course of the film, you realize that he knows that to have a real influence and to make this team, which has been struggling to make it anywhere, and obviously you find that the team's about to be sold because it's had no major successes. And, yeah, so that clashing of personalities is detrimental to the success of the film. So to see that Sonny and JP start to work together when they're reluctant to work with each other, don't like each other. And then, so leading into the, like, kind of the three quarter final act of the film where you start to see, or after that terrible accident JP had, and it was because they'd worked out a strategy how they were going to advance in the field, going from the last in the field of drivers to progress further. And obviously, again, their driving styles are very different. And because of how combative they've been, when Sonny's influence kind of seeps into JP and he's like telling him when to move out into the field to try and take advantage, he does. But like when Sonny tells him, wait, JP acts on that instinct, causing him to have this massive accident, but then Sonny saves his life. But he's still seen as reckless. He's still seen as, well, all he's doing is bringing this team down. And luckily, JP survives. And, you know, but it's believed, obviously, that Sonny caused the accident. But he didn't. You know, it was JP acting on his own instinct and not realizing that what Sonny was trying to do was by taking chances, but also doing it at the right moment, you're going to have an opportunity. And obviously you see the personality of the team the minor characters in the film, they got their own personalities and their quirks, and obviously they're very, like, they've obviously been with the team a long time, and how they do things, and the old mentality of this is the old way, it's the only way, and realizing that sometimes that way doesn't work, you know?
Yeah. Oh, highly agree with you, man. And
yeah.
Yeah, as you said, it's, yeah, this, after with JP, after having his accident and that, and it just shows how it's a feel good film in that way, because then you see the basically a big redemption arc with Sonny himself.
Yeah.
And how he learns more and actually showing other people how to listen to him, because he knows what he's talking about.
Yeah. But
you need to take risks.
Yeah.
And the team's like, they've already spent so much money and they don't have money. And they're like, no, don't want to take these risks. But then he's showing them how to learn, to adapt, to be different. Because if you don't change, you don't win.
Yeah. You remain set in your ways.
Yeah. That's exactly right. And what were your thoughts? What was like your favorite little bit?
Well, I just thought, obviously, it was a great thing, great moment. Like, after the accident, to see Sonny act so quickly, and he jumped to save JP's life, and he did. And obviously, it's obviously by seen by everyone that it's Sonny's fault. Mm. So, but JP doesn't initially tell anyone that, you know, I didn't see any moment where he actually says, thank you for saving my life. He doesn't really say that, and even when JP's mother kind of gives like a stern warning to Sonny and basically says, you know, if you harm my son, I'm coming for you. But again, I was waiting for that, thank you for saving his life, you know, and it's never really said, but it's, I guess it's kind of like alluded to, because afterwards, you really see Sonny and JP start to bond. And again, it's kind of forced at first, but I think JP realizes that Sonny really wants better for him. And again, obviously you see throughout the film that Sonny, again, he's never raced. He's not one who races for money. He races for his own purpose. And like, meanwhile, JP, he's kind of flashy. He's on the Instagram. He's got the public profile. He's got a manager who's pushing him to press conferences. He wants him out there meeting the ladies. Whereas Sonny, he stays by himself, keeps away from everyone, from everything, doesn't want the fame, doesn't want the attention. So they're completely opposites. You know what I mean? And like, I just like that dynamic, how it clashed together and how they went from foes to real teammates, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's good seeing that when they finally realized, well, JP finally realized that, you know, he knows what he's talking about. And
yeah,
and he's taking it on in his own way.
What's your favorite moment?
Oh, there's so many. But one of my favorite ones is when Sonny plays with the field, plays with the other drivers. He does mind games. And I absolutely was laughing so hard when he was doing that stuff, because it was funny how the other drivers were not. They just wouldn't go near him. And he says, they know I'm reckless. And so,
he uses that to his advantage, doesn't he?
Exactly. Yes. Because he uses it to help JP.
Yeah. I thought it was funny how obviously the other teams became accustomed to Sonny bringing out the safety car by hitting something, by hitting the wing of the car, or, you know, causing an accident or something like that. But in doing so, he fools them into being able to predict his moves, his strategy. And then obviously through the course of the film, he then uses that to spur on JP and the team as well. Because again, like I said, the team has ran with their own method, and it's like, nah, this is the foolproof way. It's the only way. And Sonny kind of makes them adapt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He like you said, pushes the limits.
Yeah.
He knows what he can do, and he knows what he can't do. And he knows that just that fine line, that gray line, that the FIA was, like, we know what you're doing, but they can't do much about it.
Yeah, we'll see. Like, and even leading to the FIA, where you realize that the team manager sabotages the team, and obviously wanting to see the team be carved up and sold off so he can do his own thing. And so Sonny realizes it when the team manager basically offers him this great deal where it shafts, you know, his friend and Javier Bardem's character, and basically leaves him out in the cold. But then Sonny is going to get this grand acclaim, but then his teammate's going to be left out in the cold as well. And then Sonny, you know, obviously he realizes that, well, he can't let that happen. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And what I liked about Sonny is he was doing this for his friend.
Yeah.
This whole journey is to help his friend out, who is a big debt. He helped him out before. I think they were, when they were younger, they were actually teammates.
They were, yeah. And so, again, it's a redemption story too, because obviously Javier Bardem, you know, when he approaches him at the start, obviously he knows he's swinging for the field, you know, because it's a big gamble taking on Sonny. And obviously, because, again, the reputation, and obviously because he's deemed as reckless and that he can't be controlled and that he does his own thing. So when Sonny is not able, you know, is not only able to show that sometimes adapting to a new way and encouraging people who are set in their ways to shift, you know, it really shows that willingness to work with others, where it, obviously he's come from not wanting to deal with anyone at all.
Yeah. And I wanted to ask you, did you get like a little bit of a sense of Days of Thunder within this film?
You know, it is funny you said this, because I saw something, and what they were comparing certain sequences of F1 to were Days of Thunder. Mm. And it's literally play for play. And because when we meet Cole Trickle in Days of Thunder, same thing, same kind of setup. He's reckless, or deemed as reckless, and that he does his own thing.
Was he considered, he was new to the sport. Cole Trickle. Yeah. He wasn't fully in drink. So yeah, he was reckless because he was new.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he was just a really good driver.
Yeah. But it's like, again, the shifting of personalities and obviously very competitive. And again, the in-driving view. I mean, again, masterfully shot. The cinematography in this film and in Days of Thunder back then. Wow. You know, I mean, like, again, masterfully shot. And well, now, like, they've just announced there's going to be a sequel to Days of Thunder.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I think people have been alluding that they're going to put Sonny Hayes and Cole Trickle are going to meet.
A crossover.
Maybe. I've read things that have said that with maybe F1 movie, or F1 2, whatever, they're going to call it, that Cole Trickle might come in, but it's just a rumor at the moment. And if they do, that'd be kind of cool. The reason why I asked you about Days of Thunder is because there's one scene in particular which I felt was very Days of Thundery.
Yep.
Which is when the girl, I forgot her name, but her her character wants them to learn to get together. So JP and Sunny. And yeah, they come
Kerry
they
go Condon.
To
yeah.
they go to casino. But that to me that was like, ah, oh, that's very Days of Thunder. But this is obviously not a Days of Thunder ripoff. This is a unique movie. This is about yeah. F1.
It's got an influence yeah. kind of yeah.
yeah that's yeah, what you
because it's like again because when you watch Days of Thunder and how that film progresses and then the ultimate success in the end of Cole Trickle, you watch this and like you just said, that scene where Kerry Condon's character brings them together, again, neither of them feel they need each other. No. And neither of them want to listen to each other. They are frustrated with each other. They don't want to work together. No. There's a real reluctance.
Yeah, and, that's yeah.
yeah.
Yeah, go on.
Go on.
Okay. Yeah, but what I was going to... What is also, it's just... That's the beauty of F1, is F1's a yeah. very individual sport, but also a team sport. Yeah. I love how they captured that because if you've watched the series Drive to Survive, you
no,
get
that. No, I haven't
that.
Actually.
Oh, okay. Well, you get that. You get that when if you watch it, you get that with the feel of that because that's what they actually do. They not all teammates get together, but they got to realize no. they're on a team and they have to join together. But it's yeah. good how they captured that. Now, just yeah, it's just.
I like the dynamic of the team meetings too.
Mm.
Because you not only saw their point of view, but you got to meet the background characters like the pit crew, and they were funny too, and they had their personalities oh. and they had their quirks, and it's just like again you saw the influence of Sunny seep through in the end because like again obviously Sunny does everything on his own, then he starts motivating the pit crew and they run with him, and then you see JP in the end. Acting off influence from Sunny, and he runs with them. Mm-hmm. And when he's kind of almost pushed out of the team, Sunny kind of takes them all by surprise and arrives in Abu Dhabi, and they go ahead with the race. And he kind of tells them, "Well, look, I'm still part of this team." Mm-hmm. And with the manager hoping for failure, hoping that the FIA. Who had basically pulled the seat from under him and told him that, well, you're not using the car or you're not racing. And, you know, so they had to adapt, obviously, to be able to race. And then when the manager realizes that Sonny's driving, he's spewing because he's praying for the downfall.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, to see, again, he kind of get the better of him. But in that sequence, like that last sequence of the film, like in the dying moments of the film, like obviously you see Sunny give JP that push because obviously they advance through the field and you know, obviously Hamilton, we've seen him in the film, but he doesn't speak. He doesn't have a speaking role, but he's got that aura.
Yes.
You know? And funnily enough, Hamilton was actually a producer of the film. And that's a great thing too, because again, it put F1 in the spotlight. Mm. And obviously, it's a massive, massive sport. And again, a great influence in the world. Obviously, you got crowds travel all over the world to go to these races. Mm. And obviously, when it's here in Melbourne, it's showcased and very successful. And Hamilton, Raikkonen, you know, all these amazing drivers, they feature in the film and they don't have speaking roles, but they got that presence.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, yeah.
And with that as well, I'm with you on that. Also, Toto Wolff, who is the Mercedes principal, he is a executive producer as well.
Yeah, because, he had a cameo.
Yeah, but with this, I believe, was shot within the 2023 season
mm-hmm.
of F1. Yep. And that's what I love about it. It was actually really raw footage. So all this was shot on location, on race days. Yeah. But I think not exactly race days, but the practice days.
Yeah.
And they had a certain amount of time. And like you said, none of the other drivers have speaking roles, which is good in a way. because they're not actors. They're drivers. And they're just, they've obviously directed them to do what they do.
Yeah.
But in a little bit of a safer, controlled situation, obviously, yeah, for Brad Pitt.
Like, world-class performers, obviously. Yeah. And knowing that, just being themselves, and made it seem like their team was a fully integrated team and accepted. And again, I just think of like an aura, because these drivers, they have a presence, and again, so competitive. And again, that's what the power of the cameras in this film, and positioned beautifully. You know, again, and so well shot. And again, when they kept having crashes in these cars, I'm like, oh my God, there's $1 million down the drain. And it's just like, And it's just like, obviously, they're prepared for accidents and stuff like that. And it's just like, but like, it's the power of the pit crew. It's the power of, like, again, it's just, ugh. I mean, moments I'm like, oh my God. But again, it was also, again, the deception of Sonny basically getting the better of the other teams by them starting to predict how he's going to act, and it leading to the success of him and JP in the end. And obviously, the accidents sequences are shot in a way where full effect, full shock value, and like, it's like, wow, it could be life and death, especially driving at the speeds that they were driving. And obviously, again, seeing how the team had not performed well at all before Sonny came, and then leading to ultimate success, and they, again, him and JP working together, and yeah, just beautiful.
Oh, and also what makes this movie as well is your man Hans Zimmer.
Oh, he can I just say?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, guys, if you haven't already seen in our reviews how much of a Hans Zimmer aficionado that I am, we definitely love his music and scores in film. And his music through this movie, the score is just beautiful. It flows. And it's intense in moments, and it hits home amazing. That's beautiful.
That's why I said this film is made for cinema. Yeah. As other, but this is, I just feel this is what you just need to watch. Like, imagine seeing this at 40X.
Oh.
Like, oh, that would be so beautiful. Like, I've seen videos of people at 40X on this, and it just looks amazing. And I'm like, wow. Oh, that would be so cool. And I just, yeah. It's such a good movie, man.
But if you don't see it in 4DX, folks, see it on the biggest screen available. Because, like, I mean, this would be amazing in IMAX. And obviously, we saw it in different cinemas, didn't we, Kev?
Well, I saw this at Village Sunshine as I regularly visit. And I saw it on VMAX.
Awesome. Well, I saw it at Melbourne's Sun Theatre in Yarraville. Which is a restored theater. And again, I sent Kev a shot of the screen and what the cinema was like, and beautifully restored. And again, my only complaint about the experience was sometimes I felt kind of like a little bit kind of strangled in the chair. But again, what made up for it was the big screen, and the theater was near full. And again, just beautiful, beautiful.
Well, that would have been amazing to see, seeing a packed film for the packed seats for this film. My experience was a lot different. It was actually very scarce. Could have been the time of day we went. Yeah. I think we went, well, lunchtime, but still, I think, it's not just not a lot of people, but it doesn't impact. It's not the film itself is the reason why people aren't going. I think it's other things, you know, the cost of living and all that jazz. But, seeing this with full people would have been great.
Yeah, obviously, I think the budget for this film was around the $200 million mark. Oh, yeah. And so I think, they've already made their money back. And it's still in theatres all over the world. And hopefully they're not going to rush to put it out on streaming, because obviously the cinemas are going to keep performing. People are going to keep coming out to this film. Like when I was walking out, there were people lining up for this movie, and you know, all I could hear was F1, you know, and it was great. It was a great thing. And because again, people need to get out and support cinema, guys. We love streaming. It's great, but you got to support your movie theaters. You got to get out there. And like Kev said, your Village, Hoyts, even independent cinemas like the Sun Theater, you know, like Palace, United Cinemas, get out there and support them, because the future of Australian cinema or cinema in general is based on us getting out there and enjoying movies like they're intended.
That's right. I completely agree with you. Well, with that said, I think we're getting a bit far. Do you want to, any other thoughts you reckon, or?
Well, I definitely think if they do adapt a sequel to this, or they link this to a film with Tom Cruise, and Brad Pitt and Tom Cruise work together again. I mean, they haven't worked together, obviously, since Night with the, you know, Interview with the Vampire. But like in the publicity, some of the premieres and that, Tom Cruise and Brad Pitt have been seen together. And funny story I read was that the director said, "Can you imagine if this film had been with Tom Cruise?" Well, basically, he would have defied every stunt coordinator, probably would have fired them and got a new one. And because, you know, he's known for really being hands-on with his stunts and everything. So can you imagine the intensity of Tom Cruise and Brad Pitt, that aura, like, you know, that they both bring? I mean, I think it would be special. I mean, imagine that, like, yeah, if this Days of Thunder sequel, they suddenly say, hey, you know, they're both here. Who knows?
It would work.
It would.
Sonny Hayes is the character that you can put in different situations with in racing, because his whole character is he can do any racing you want. So you can put him in any situation. So
and
it can
it's
happen.
Funny. It's funny too, because the movie starts with him racing in Daytona.
Yep. Daytona Fire. Or is it the 24 hour?
Yeah, that's right. And so, like, I think anything's possible. And I know you and I would both be there for it.
Oh, same director, same with Hans Zimmer as well. Oh yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. But yeah, I reckon it might get a sequel, but what story it is, it'll be, I don't know, but we'll see.
Yeah, well, final thoughts, Kev. What do you think, you know, people should do with this film?
Oh, rating-wise or?
Yeah.
Okay, well, rating-wise, this is a solid 9.
Yep.
This is a solid 9. It's not, like, a perfect 10 of a movie, I don't know what that would be. This is close, but it's a solid 9 for me. A solid 9 popcorn buckets. It's a solid movie. It's
that's
not perfect.
High praise.
But
that's pretty high praise.
Oh, it's up there, man. But this is top of what I've seen.
Yeah.
You know, within this genre of action and stuff, like, this is just top. Like, go see it. What are yours?
I would have to agree. 9 popcorn buckets, folks. Yeah. This is a film that must be seen in cinemas to get the full enjoyment out of it. And yeah, if they do make a sequel to this, I'm all for it. And definitely go see it, enjoy it. And very, very happy with it.
Absolutely. 100 degree. All right, guys. Well, I think they'll wrap up the F1 review. What do you think, Anthony?
I reckon it will too.
All right.
But yeah, folks, if you stay with us this long, please, you know, hit the like button on our video and leave a comment. Support us on our Facebook page, Two Guys, One Reel.
Yep. Check out, as Anthony said, check out all our socials and just get involved. Let us know what you like. Are you going to go see it? Have you seen it? Do you agree with us? Do you disagree with us? We want to know.
Yeah, we want your thoughts. We want your opinions. And because at the end of the day, we appreciate any and all support from you guys.
100%. And guess, with that, See you in the next one.
See you in the next one, folks.